Worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you are here. We have a number of visitors, and you could have chosen to be elsewhere, but you chose to be here, and we thank you for it. I didn't get to speak with all of you before the service, so I hope that I can do that afterward. But we, all of us that attend here, are so very thankful that you are with us. I appreciate the fact that, again, God has blessed us to be able to be with those of like precious faith and to be able to once again open up a portion of His Word and study together as we worship God. Appreciate Ethan and the good reading he did from Romans, the 6th chapter, and did verse 13, where as Paul is writing to the Church of Christ at Rome, Christians that assembled there, he stated in verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God." He would later on in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talk about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, which he says is our reasonable servitude, reasonable thing to do in light of what he has done for us. But with every member of our body, we are admonished to serve God. A lot of folks don't do that today. You are surrounded, as you work out in the world from day to day, you are surrounded by a host of people who care nothing about spiritual things. They don't care about doing right unto others. They don't care about obeying the gospel, that heaven might be their eternal home when life is over. But God's people are admonished to use our members as instruments of righteousness. Every member that I have, now sometimes the Bible, as we're all aware of, talks about the body. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the members of the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here he's talking about the members of my physical body. I'm not to yield myself as a servant of sin. He goes on to talk about in verses 16 through 18. But every instrument that I have is to be used in service to God. Come with me to the book of Isaiah. By way of an introduction to the sermon, Isaiah chapter 1. And notice the first six verses with me that set the stage for what he's going to talk about in large part in this book that he's writing. He says, "A vision," verse 1 of Isaiah 1, "the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." Notice what the Lord said. "I have nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more?" Now watch what he says. "The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." I want us to think about a series of lessons that I present over the next few weeks on the various instruments of our body. I got to thinking about what Isaiah said in verse 6, "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it." You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the instruments of our body, about the members of our body. We're going to start from the head and go all the way down to the foot as we think about what the Bible says about these various parts of our body. This morning we're going to consider the minds of men. The Bible has a lot to say about your mind, about my mind, about the minds of men in general. The Bible has a lot to say about the ears of man and what we hear. He has a lot to say about our eyes, about our mouth and our tongue, about our heart, which really this is the Bible heart, the mind, but we're going to do a separate lesson on some things the Bible says about the heart. It has a lot to say about our hands, and it has a lot to say about our feet. There are several lessons that you can include as we go through here to talk about not yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness. So I hope that has the gears turning as you're curious about what the Bible says about the various members of your body. And so I want us to think about for a little while this morning. We're not going to get to all the points. In fact, when you look at some of these words, they're used well over 400 times. Some of the ones we'll talk about. This morning there's 14 points in the sermon this morning. In the sermon, I'll say it this way, in the sermon that I have, we're not going to talk about all 14 points. But we'll talk about six or so maybe this morning. As we think about the minds of men, the first one I want you to think about is found over in the book of Nehemiah. And all these we can think about and we can make application of each one of these points in our lives, collectively, individually, and think about these things. The children of Israel had a lot of opposition. When they tried to do the will of God and they tried to do some rebuilding as they went back to their homeland. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 4, begin with verse 3. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that they're working on the wall, they're trying to rebuild the wall, and Tobiah, an enemy, and one that wanted to be an obstacle in their way, he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now, a fox doesn't have a lot of strength, does he? Doesn't weigh a whole lot, but he's making fun of, ridiculing, scorning. If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. I want you to know this morning that you are engaged in the greatest work known to man today. And that is you are trying to stand for truth and you are trying the best, hopefully, that we can. We can always do better. We can always grow. But hopefully we are endeavoring to do the best job that we can in what we're doing. To teach others the gospel of Christ. And you're going to have folks along the way that are going to make fun of what you're trying to do. Those people down there at Mill Street, they've been there for years and they're never going to accomplish what they think that they're going to accomplish. It'll never do any good what they're trying to do. Don't you ever listen to naysayers. There'll always be people who are trying to stand in your way. Who will try to tell you that you'll never do what you are trying to do in service to the Lord. Such was the case with the children of Israel. But you keep reading. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach unto their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now watch verse 6. So built we the wall. You need to underscore that. Circle. Highlight it. Whatever it is in your Bible. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Now watch this. How was that accomplished? What's the kind of mind that the people had? For the people had a mind to work. They accomplished it even in the face of opposition because they had a mind that they wanted to work and get things done. So I ask us today, what kind of mind do we have? I'll begin with me all the way around the room. What kind of mind do we have in doing the things that we know that God would have us to be doing? All of us. Now don't ever take a seat and say, well, that's just for the men to be doing. Now we understand we have roles. Women have roles. Men have roles. And so forth and so on. But don't ever take the attitude that someone else's work. I've come to learn this, so I've had a lot of people that's helped me through the years. And folks that I know that I could depend on. But I've tried to have the mentality, don't wait around and ask somebody to do it if you do it and never get done. Now that's not a shot at anybody here. I'm just saying in general, Don't sit around and wait and say, let somebody else do it, or just let somebody else take the reins. If you do, many times it'll never get done. Pick them up and do them. You see something that needs to be done? Guess what? Two words. Do it. Have a mind that says, I want to have a mind that is ready to work. Have a mind that way. We all can work on it. So we want to have a better mind along those ways, lines. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. Why, Lord? The night cometh when no man can work. And the Lord Himself understood that He wasn't going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. And as long as there is work to be done, I need to have a mind that says, I want to do it. We've had a mild winter, haven't we? Been blessed. Spring, as it were, is just around the corner. Really, here it is, February. Are you planning on doing some things as you're trying to teach others the gospel? Are you working right now to try to endeavor and say, here's some things maybe I can do that I've not tried before? I hope we all are. I try to evaluate and say, you know what, I haven't done that before. Maybe it would work. Guess what? I'll never know if it would work or not except I try. And neither will you. In 2 Timothy 4:5, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I've got work to be done, and guess what? You do too. All of us do. Two times this week, past week, I'll share with you by way of encouragement. Folks, two different times, made comment to me about the growth that you've had and about the young ones that you had, the little babies. Talking about you, sir, I didn't see any babies. Got all kinds of babies. That's a word of encouragement. People know about the work that you're trying to do. You're blessed almost every week with visitors. You're blessed with people who could be elsewhere, but they're saying, you know what, I'm no longer going to hear that, but I want to go there. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that folks understand what you're trying to do and want to be a part of it. Keep that going and do more. A mind that is ready to work. You know, the minds that you read about in the Bible are not always of a positive nature. Many times they are, but not always. Come with me to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And in verse 22, somewhat of a lengthy reading, we may not read all of it, but Luke chapter 12, begin with verse 22. Jesus said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither they have storehouse nor barn. But God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, if taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not that which ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. How many times do you have a doubtful mind? Well, I just don't know if God to do what He says. I mean, I understand He did it for these individuals, and I know that He says if we ask that He'll do things for us and He'll take care of us. But you know, that's for everyone else. I just don't know if God will really do that for me. Don't doubt. We understand we have to be in a right relationship with God before He hears our prayers and so forth. John 9:31 and other passages. But don't have a mind that doubts. You know what the Bible says about the man that wavers or doubts? Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Preacher, where is that? Come with me to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, he's talking about wisdom. Wisdom in the context of being able to deal with various trials and so forth that come upon us. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now watch this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, the King James Version says. The New King James says, nothing doubting. Nothing doubting or wavering. For he that, see if you want to be described like this. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Don't doubt. Don't have a doubtful mind. In verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, I'm talking about some specific things in that chapter, the eating of meat and so forth. If you don't do it of faith, you're condemned already, makes the point. Because you're not doing it of faith. Don't doubt. Have a mind that knows, first of all, what the Scriptures say. And secondly, that God will do what He says. Trust in God, believe in God, He has a good track record. Everything that He's ever said that He would do, guess how many of them He's done? Unless He put the stipulation on every one of them. When He makes a promise, He does it. Just think about a mind that the Bible talks about. And again, there's a good number of them. I want you to think about what is stated in Acts the 17th chapter and verse 11 concerning those of Berea. And see if your mind fits into this category of people. I don't find a lot of people out in the world like this. It's far and few in between, really. You have folks who say, oh, I believe what the Bible says, but then you start talking with them, you start sharing it with them what the Bible really says, and you'll soon see that most of the time they really don't want to take what the Bible says. Oh, I don't read it that way. You know, the Bible says to you what it does to me. Oh, that's your interpretation. No, I didn't interpret it. I read English, and I've got an English Bible. It's already been interpreted. It says the same for you as it does for me. Verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word. Now watch this. With all readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Is that the kind of mind you have? Oh, there was folks in Berea, there were folks in Thessalonica, and then he says that these were more noble, talking about those in Thessalonica, more so than the Bereans. Why? Because with a ready mind, they accepted. They searched the Scriptures. They listened. They received it and searched it. Do you have that kind of mind? That you always want to be a student of the Bible and learn as much as you possibly can? So you're talking to someone in the world and you say, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's your interpretation. Well, I just told you what it says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. That's your interpretation. The churches of Christ salute you. That's your interpretation. That's what it says. They receive the word with all readiness of mind. Search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I think about Lydia in Acts chapter 16. She attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. Most of you pay attention to me, if you're able to. And at least you're looking at me, that indicates, at least in some part, you're paying attention to me. But do we have that mind that says, I'm going to listen to what's being said? I'm going to search the Scriptures to see if it's so. A very good friend of mine serves as one of the elders in a congregation in Louisville, and he was talking with me about his mother one time, and his mother's now well up in age. And He said, my mother, he says, she just thinks that every preacher that stands on the TV with an open Bible is surely saying the truth. We can't gauge truth because a man stands up and opens his Bible. A lot of folks open up their Bible. A lot of folks are smooth, very good orators, good public speakers, very polished in the pulpit. That's not the way to gauge truth. It'll be settled on a thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? In Ecclesiastes 5:1, it talks about the importance of listening, ready to hear what is said. Do you have that kind of mind? But also as you think about the various different minds that the Bible talks about, the minds of men, and there's so many points. Again, I've just jotted down, put on the outline 14. Outlines are in the back if you'd like to have one. And we may or may not finish this in the future. May move on. But you'll have them if you pick one up. In Romans 12 and in verse 16, watch this. Watch what he says. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. How's our mind? Not only toward one another, but are we on the same page? Do we have the same mind? Another one of the points that I'm going to cover this morning is dealing with one mind, being of one mind. Do we have the same mind? Well, the religious world don't have the same mind. If you want a good picture of religious confusion, look out in the religious world. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Think of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Here's Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Did you read anything about the mind of men in that passage? He just said, be the same mind. Same judgment. I know of no church on the top side of God's green earth except the Church of Christ that will teach you that we've got to speak the same things. All people in the religious world, they'll read this, but then you say, well, why are you not talking and preaching the same thing that your religious neighbor down the street is? Well, those things are not important. That's of no consequence. Oh, as long as you believe in the things that, you know, the necessary things. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. All those other things are really not necessary. No reason to be divided over those things. Well, you can paint it any way you want. You're still not teaching the same thing. And I suppose that if you've got the right to just pencil around here and say, you know, this is of no consequence, whatever you believe on it. And over here, you know, this is not of it. This is of consequence. I guess I've got just as much right, don't I? If you have the authority to do that, I guess I do too. See what happens? We will never have the unity that God expects us to have. By the way, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. Unity is commanded, division is condemned. We'll never have unity. We'll never achieve it. And when we achieve it, I'm not saying we're not, I'm saying in general, we'll never stand on it and keep it if we have that type of mindset that says it doesn't matter. Philippians 4:2. Be of one mind. Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, wherein two we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. One more point. We've only given you 5 out of 14. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Begin with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken. Now watch this. Be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't let your mind be shaken. Stand fast. 1 Corinthians 15 and then verse 58. Ephesians 4 and then verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Well, how are children? Notice what he says. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You have that kind of mind? You got a lot of good things that you're striving to do here. And I encourage you to keep it up. No matter who stands before you. Whether it's me, someone else, some other people, whatever. Keep up the good work and improve where you need to improve. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You have the mind that says that I want to not only receive the Word of God, but I want to obey it. You become a Christian by doing what they did in New Testament times. You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, and be converted. The times of repentance shall come from the presence of the Lord, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:10. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord, you've not been faithful as you should. You want to be restored, you want to come home. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession of God in prayer, Acts 8, 1 John 1. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. It's only a step. Come forward right now.